Coming up on this week's episode, we're talking Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool, plus a look at the top of the Championship. Liam's on a quiz duty and there's a cold version of Wonders of White, plus a Who Am I, so let's get started. Hello and welcome to a new episode of View from the Sideline podcast. It's Chris here. Liam's here as well. Hello, Liam.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Like a Cheshire cat, Liam.
Yeah, happy Cheshire cat.
I mean, out of the blue, just like that.
Yeah. It was a good job we postponed recording yesterday so we could, so you could basically bathe in the glory of a 6-0 win.
Indulge on myself. We are going to go on to that in a little bit. Some crazy results this weekend. We're going to look at, I guess, sort of the top of the Premier League, and we're also going to delve into the Championship as well this week, which we haven't really done that much of this season, but with it coming to a conclusion and it being so tight, I mean, there's some good points to be talking about in there. So we'll get started on what happened last night. I mean, for Chelsea to score 6 in one game and get a clean sheet, Everton must be terrible. I mean, literally from start, I think they had one shot on target the whole game. I mean, Beto did miss from about 3 yards. When it was 0-0, so yeah, maybe it would have been a different game had he scored that. But really strange. When you win a game of football like that, it does beg the question of why is it taking so long to get a performance like that going, and why haven't we been playing like that in the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. I know we're 8 unbeaten, but we drew with Sheffield United and Burnley. And I would probably even say Sheffield United were probably worse than Everton when we played them. And we were just terrible on the day. But I guess it's how they take it from here. I mean, like I just said before we started recording, you know, there's a tough, you know, some tough games coming up for us. FA Cup semi-final on Saturday. And then we've got Arsenal midweek next week and then Villa next Saturday. So, I mean, it's going to be two very difficult games, especially after just winning 6-0. We probably could have done with a smaller team in the bottom half to come up against. But it might just be a one-off. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those seasons for you, isn't it, where it's you've had some, there's some positives to come from it, obviously Cole Palmer being one of them, and you've had a few results, not 6-0 like it was yesterday, but you've obviously had a few results that have been really positive this season. Man City game as well, you know, you played really well in that, and then you've had the reverse of, you know, drawing against teams at the bottom of the table. But I think, as you said, 8 games unbeaten. I know there's been a few draws in that, but confidence, I think, it's got to be growing for the younger players in the team. I don't know whether, have you threatened a result like this? I mean, the only game I can think of this season where you look like, where you did score a lot anyway, but you looked like you could have had more, it's probably the Spurs game, like very early in the season.
Were lucky that they had sent, you know, they were down to 9 men for them, you know, for most of the second half.
Yeah.
It was out of the blue. I mean, Everton are struggling. And I think that's, you know, fair to see from last night's performance. It just clicked last night. Every time we went forward, we looked threatening. The one thing that we normally do, and the Manchester United game a couple of weeks back, was a good example of being 2-0 up and then just kind of coasting through the game and then making a silly error. I said last week errors are where, you know, the quite a few of our goals have come from. So, you know, you know, there was no mistakes last night, which was a good thing, and a clean sheet, which I can't remember the last time we've had that. But
actually this season, to be fair, but yeah, it's like you say, it's one of those. It's either now the foot is going to be off the gas and the pressure is going to be off a little bit, and they're not going to really bother, or they're really going to kick on. It'd be interesting to see what it is. Obviously, we've spoken quite a lot this season that you've got quite a young squad. Do you think, you know, from the lineup or anything yesterday, was the formation any different? Anyone playing any different roles, or did anyone just stand out, or was it just one of those days?
Well, I guess you could say instead of having a free sort of midfield of Gallagher, Casado and Fernandes, and Fernandes was injured, so that's probably why he wasn't playing. But we only played with sort of the two holding midfielders, where, you know, we would normally play with two, but you'd have Enzo Fernandes just in front of them. So it was more of a a 4-2-3-1 formation with Palmer, which I think is where he's best at, just behind the striker. Mudrick had a good game. I thought he had one of his better games for Chelsea, and it just all seemed to click last night. You know, we were still missing a few players. I mean, Chalobah and Silva aren't probably the two centre backs of Pochettino's first choice, but, you know, when all your other options are injured, you don't have a lot of choice, but I thought they both played pretty well. We were more attacking, I would say, than normal.
Yeah.
And it worked. And I think a lot of teams, like Sheffield United and Burnley, are the biggest examples of trying to break teams down, which is where we've really struggled. And obviously where Sheffield United and Burnley are quite defensive, that's where we've struggled this season in breaking them down. But with Everton last night, they were quite, you know, they weren't sat back. They were attacking more, and I felt that played to our advantage a lot more.
Yeah.
And we found the gaps, and, you know, we scored some good goals. I mean, Everton's defence wasn't the greatest last night, and I mean, Pickford made a mistake as well for one of the goals. It could have been more, to be fair. Palmer missed a really good chance before he scored his second goal. He missed from about a yard. I don't know how he did it, but, you know, it happened. And, you know, we win 6-0, yet the biggest talking point coming out of the game is the penalty the disruption around the penalty.
It's
silly, isn't it?
Palmer is your normal penalty taker, isn't he?
Palmer, yeah.
Yeah.
Palmer is just
having a scrap because I guess the other players thought he'd already scored. I fancy getting on the
score. Yeah, well, Madueke, he picked the ball. He didn't even win the penalty. The penalty was given for the foul on Palmer anyway. But I know Madueke has taken penalties this season for us and scored. But I think managers always have their preference. And I would imagine if Cole Palmer is on the pitch, I think would be saying that he is the penalty taker. I mean, it was Gallagher that was getting, you know, I think he's the captain last night. He was the peacemaker trying to get, you know, Jackson and Madueke away from it, but they just, for some reason, just couldn't leave it alone.
Yeah.
And I think Palmer was always going to take it. So I don't really know the reason behind why Madueke picked the ball up in the first place to take it to the spot. And then for some reason, I don't know why Jackson got himself in the mix of it, but he sort of then tried to grab the ball off of Madueke, and then, in the end, Gallagher obviously pushed them both away. But I know Poch came out after the game and said that, you know, there is a, if the designated penalty taker is on the pitch, he is the one that's going to take it. It doesn't matter if you've scored 2 goals, 3 goals, 1 goal. It doesn't matter. You know, he's always going to take the penalty. So I don't know why they got involved. And like I said, yeah. Poch has come out and said if it happens again, they won't be picked.
Yeah.
And rightly so. It didn't make any sense as to why. No,
The game by that point, you know, I think were you 3-0 up by then or something like that? Whatever. You've got to credit Palmer, you know, a young lad, that could quite easily throw you if you have a few nerves or something. That's 0-0, and it's happening, you know, in a big game for you at, you know, scores or level, it's in the last 10 minutes. It's enough to put anybody off, so fair play, you know.
Palmer's oh, team. Yeah, I mean...
And for Gallagher as well, obviously, you know, he's captain. I mean, in my eyes, he's still a young lad that's just come through the academy, but I know, obviously, now he has played a lot for you.
Well, yeah, he's had to grow up a lot. I mean, he's been one of our best players this season, consistent-wise, and, you know, you can't say that he doesn't give 100% every game, because he's the one player that's chasing everything in the game. So, you know, I can understand, I guess, a little bit, you know, I can't understand why players would want to, you know, and plus Palmer is going for, you know, the golden boot. You know, he's level on goals now with Haaland. So it's just obscure why they would think that they would be taking the penalty if they were, you know, if he's on the pitch. It just doesn't really make any sense. And imagine if he gave it to Madueke or he gave it to Jackson, what, you know, and they missed.
Yeah.
What would happen? It's just silly.
It sets a precedent, obviously, for, you know, not just for the rest of the season, but how you're going to be next year as well and things like that, which obviously is not ideal, but it is strange.
It does take the shine off it when you look at the back of the paper and it's them arguing over a penalty. Yeah. I mean, come on, like,
yeah.
The papers are just going to lap it up. Let's be honest with you. And I turned Sky Sports News on this morning, and the first thing I see is them talking about them arguing over the penalty. Not the fact that Chelsea had their biggest win of the season and probably the best that they've played all season. So
there's a bit of a shame, but let's not take the shine off it. For
No. And it happened. Remember it happened not tonight with Kepa. Remember when Kepa, when he refused to come off the pitch? Yeah,
I was going to say, it's not that you've had drama around Chelsea.
I'm sure whatever happened, and I'm sure they've put it all past them. And, you know, I would imagine that this morning, I don't know if they would have gone into training this morning, but I'm sure if they have, or if it's tomorrow, Poch will be calling, you know, the three of them in and saying, you know, you've got to respect, you know, me for who I want to take the penalties.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want anyone else other than Cole Palmer taking that penalty. So.
No, I don't think any Chelsea fan.
So, yeah.
Because was that his hat-trick goal?
That was the fourth. That was his fourth. It was 4-0 at the time, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that was his fourth.
Again, the way that game was going, if you're a striker or, you know, an attacking player, you probably think, well, I might get a couple more chances anyway. So you're not going to make much of a meal of it. But yeah, they did persist, didn't they?
Okay, we'll move on now to something that we touched on last week, Lynn, when we both said that we thought Man City would win the league. Mm-hmm. And I think we might have put a small curse on Arsenal and Liverpool. Because literally the game after we say that Man City are going to win, they both lose. Yeah. So, well, obviously for you, being an, obviously a Villa fan, I mean, you I guess you're very happy with the way things went in that game.
Yeah, very happy. I mean, the first half, really, I won't say we struggled, but we gave Arsenal a bit of space. They didn't have any, well, they had one clear-cut chance, which Trossard should have scored. It was a good save by Martinez, but other than that, there wasn't too much in the way of like guilt-edged chances, and we hit the post in the first half, so it was probably a bit even. But the second half was as good a performance as I've seen from us this season. Even, you know, the Man City performance where we didn't give them even a shot on goal. You know, we just looked in control, and it's not very often I've said that, especially from a defensive point of view, because we have been rather leaky at the back, especially for the last month or two. But we just looked like we were in control, and I was happy with 0-0. I would have been delighted with that. Ollie Watkins hit the post in the first half, kind of rolled across the line, but that was an Arsenal mistake. That was a bit of an error in their back line.
Yeah.
I mean, Tielemans had a cracking shot that hit the crossbar, but again, if that goes in, it's a wonder goal. It's not a gilt-edged chance, you know. We didn't look like we were creating too much, but then, you know, 10 minutes to go, you could tell Arsenal were a bit nervous. They were worried about losing ground. They didn't really know whether to really push for that winner or whether to sort of sit back and make sure that we don't score. And in the end, they didn't really do either. It was just a very, very nervous performance from them, which we've not really seen yet this season.
No.
It's a show, and, you know, all the pundits said it on Match of the Day. The Man City team have been there and done it. They know what it takes at this time of the season. All of the Arsenal players haven't won a title. You know, it's the first, well, it's not the first time that they've tried to, but it would be the first time they won if they were to win. So, yeah, maybe just a little bit of inexperience or something, a little bit of nerves kind of cost them. But I don't think they played horrendously, Arsenal. I don't think they were as bad as a few people have made out. But yeah, it was certainly a good game for Villa. And, you know, to a man, every single player, I thought, for us, really was in with the shout of man of the match, to be honest. They gave it to Diego Carlos on Sky Sports, which I thought was a little bit strange. But you could have probably had a case for giving it to any one of our lads. I think we did play really well. So hopefully we've got Lille next away. And I think, I want to say they're unbeaten at home this season. So,
yeah, it's tough because you conceded a goal, didn't you? I think in the end, didn't you?
Yeah, in the last few minutes we did. But if anything's going to give you confidence, it's probably beating Arsenal at the Emirates the game before. So I think, you know, if we can get a result there, it's possible to, if we can come away with a draw at least against Leo, then it would obviously
suit. Yeah. So and then you've got
them up next and then Bournemouth. So I think, you know, we'll obviously be looking to get another 3 points there. And the big swing, obviously, for us in goal difference with Spurs getting an absolute stuffing at the weekend. Back in pole position for that extra Champions League spot, I think. So, yeah, we've still got Liverpool left. But, the running for us and Spurs is pretty similar. We've both got decent teams in the running. But,
speaking of Liverpool, they lost as well to Crystal Palace. At home as well. I don't think many people saw that. But
no, they just couldn't score. They could have been there all day, and there was just something in the air, and they couldn't score. They were creating chances, but a mixture of good defending. There was a couple of really good blocks in there from Palace defenders, but
yeah.
It just wouldn't go in for them. It was one of those days, and I don't think they did too much wrong. Palace scored a goal, actually. There wasn't really much. I just think they were a bit unlucky, really.
So it leaves, I guess, Man City in pole position now. Two points clear, so they've got that cushion.
Yeah. They've got the experience, you know, the people that have been there and and the year before and the year before that. But
even the goal differences aren't too dissimilar, really. Arsenal obviously have the best one, but they've all scored. They're all in the 70s for goals now. So, I mean, it's still that I still see there being some twists and turns in the last, you know, six games. I don't know. I just think if you look at the form in the last sort of, you could say, I guess, 15 games, Man City are right up there, 6 points ahead of everyone else. And even when you look in the last five games, they're top as well. I mean, they're joint top Chelsea, actually. But I don't know. I just think with Man City's running that they've got, I mean, they've still got to play Forest, Wolves, Fulham. I'd say that's very free. I mean, the only game they've got that's going to cause them issues is they got Tottenham away.
Yeah.
Second from last game.
They don't like playing at Spurs either, do they? No. I don't think Guardiola's ever won there, but if there's a year.
It would be nice if it came down to the last game and they were all within either on the same points or, you know, even if they were just like 1 point off of each other. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and it's also interesting in the Championship as well.
There is a Championship game going on tonight, so Southampton are still 3-0 up.
They are, you know,
they're not out of it.
They really dipped in form, didn't they? About sort of, 10 games ago, they went through about 3 or 4 defeats in a row. But I mean, it is close. I guess, you know, for me, I think the pressure is on Leicester and Leeds, because I think at the start of the season they probably would have been, and Southampton you can put in that conversation as well, is probably the three favourites to go up.
Yeah.
And you probably wouldn't have put Ipswich in there. And to be fair, you know, Ipswich hit and miss. They've been, you know, sort of, they had a really good start to the season. And then sort of middle period, they dropped quite a few points, but they've come back into it in the last, you know, the last sort of 10 games. I think they've won like 7 of their last 10. So, Leicester and Leeds have both dropped points recently. I mean, Leicester have got the game in hand, so they do have a slight advantage. But
I think Leicester, I would make favourites at the moment. So,
yeah,
at the minute, and this is including the game tonight against Preston. I'm assuming with sort of half an hour to go that Southampton are probably going to win this. But yeah, so Ipswich are top, played a game more than Leicester, and they're 1 point ahead of them. Leicester coming in second, then Leeds, who are also on 43 games, so the same amount as Ipswich. They're on 87 points, so 2 points behind. And then Southampton, 3 points behind Leeds, but with a game in hand as well. So if Southampton were to win that game in hand, they would go on level on points with Leeds. So there would be 2 points covering the top four.
And they've got to play both Leicester and Leeds yet, Southampton.
Yeah, they do. So if they they would probably be up. You know, it is that close at the moment. But what a season for Ipswich. And I did just want to mention, you know, they only promoted from League One last season. And they obviously did well in League One last year, but I don't think anyone expected them to be where they are at this stage of the season. Played some good football as well. I actually watched them against Southampton last week, I think it was, or the week before. They played really well. It was a great game, actually, because Southampton did more than their fair share, but it was like a last kick of the game win for Ipswich in a 3-2 win. But they're playing some really good football. You know, they get their wing backs high up the pitch. They play wide. They play good passing football. So it's not a fluke that they're up there. They've done it through playing
well
and a good style of football. So, it'll be interesting to see, obviously, who goes up in the top two.
Ipswich have scored 85 goals this season.
Yeah, more than anyone.
But when you look at the top scorers in the league, they've got Connor Chaplin, who's 10th on 13, and they've got Nathan Broadhead as well. He's on 13. The goals have been really shared throughout the whole team, really.
Yeah.
You know, to be top and score 85 goals and not have the top scorer in the league would be, I think, pretty unheard of, to be fair. So, you know, they've distributed the goals pretty well. I mean, they have conceded quite a few goals compared to the other teams around them. But, I mean, you'd have had good odds on them going out this season. You know, there will be someone out there with the winning ticket for this one. And it's nice to see a different team potentially coming out. Like, we had Luton last year.
Yeah.
And we've potentially got Ipswich coming up, you know, next season as well. Because you look behind Ipswich, you've got Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, West Brom and Norwich. I mean, West Brom and Norwich are the yo-yo teams of the league. And So
it's going to be in playoffs, I think, obviously, because two of those teams go up that we've mentioned, and it does look like it will be two from four.
You wouldn't want playoffs in this with those teams there.
You absolutely would not. But all if you're that team, say let's just take Leeds for example, to go so close to getting up automatically, it must be a bit of a killer to only qualify for the playoffs after being so close. And we haven't seen it before where there's been runaway teams at the top, but the one that hasn't made it automatically does then struggle in the playoff because they're you know a bit tired at the end of the
season.
And the pressure does get to them, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you wouldn't want to play.
I mean, you've got history with Leeds, I'm sure you don't mind too much.
No, I mean, I've got to admit, I did see the results this weekend. So Ipswich drew this weekend and Leicester and Leeds both lost. So I was watching those results with interest, actually.
Ipswich are probably kicking themselves as well because...
Yeah, I mean, they could have been there.
Yeah, it could have been done by now. I mean, you know, they've drawn their last two games, both at home as well. So, I mean, they scored against Southampton in like the 90-something minute, didn't they? A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the last kick of the game. Southampton, they were unlucky, but it was a red card that did for them. They got a place sent off about 10 minutes to go, and then it was just all Ipswich. And, they just couldn't quite hold on. It was literally the last kick of the game that Ipswich scored in, but it was
crazy. The guy who got sent off, he was one of your youngsters, wasn't he?
Yeah, Bree. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I think we'll keep an eye on that, I think. And I think we'll definitely talk about it again next week, see sort of where they all are come next week. I don't know when Leicester are actually playing their game in hand. It looks like their game in hand is actually against Southampton, and it looks like they're playing it midweek next week. So it's going to be interesting. But very good to see the Premier League and the Championship with such close run-ins. So, It's looking good. But, that's it for part one. We'll be back in part two with a quiz, some Who Am I's, and some Wonders of White. Hello, and welcome back to part two of this week's episode. And we're going to go into some Wonders of White, Liam.
Yeah.
There's a theme for this one.
Cold Wonders of White, was that?
Cold, yes, cold. So, yes, all these Wonders of White are actually about Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer has become the first ever Chelsea player to score in 7 successive Premier League appearances at Stamford Bridge. He's currently on 7. In 7 games in a row.
Not bad going, is it? For a young lad.
Someone put on there that I don't know if he was on the wind up or whatever, that he was basically saying that he still doesn't think Cole Palmer should go to the Euros.
No, he's got to be in there. He's got to be right.
I don't know if he's an Arsenal Man United fan, because he put on there, he was probably a Man United fan, actually. He was saying that he'd rather have Rashford go than Cole Palmer.
I mean, I don't think it's either or for those two, but...
Don't you think they're both going? Obviously, they're both going, right?
I would say they're both going, but if it was the final place up for grabs between the two of them, do you take the lad who scored 20 goals this season? I don't think they have Rashford scored.
To me, with the form he's in, he should be starting. I don't know if I'm just a deluded Chelsea fan in saying that, but
no. If you do pick on form,
he's been miles better than Saka. This is going to annoy Arsenal fans, but he's been miles better than Saka this season.
I mean, goals and assists.
Saka gets so much praise from Arsenal fans, yet he doesn't do a tremendous amount, I don't think. It's probably an unpopular opinion, but...
That is going to get some angry messages.
I'm ready for
it. I do like Saka.
He's a good player. No, don't get me wrong. He's a good player.
I don't know whether... He's not really going to be judged on, I suppose, goals, but... Yeah, you can't argue with the statistics of how many, you know, goals and assists that Palmer's got this season. Because it isn't just goals that... You know, he's not scored 20 goals and not assisted anybody. Palmer's, I think, second, or is he joint top of the assist charts as well? So
I don't know. I think he's joint on that as well. But
so you know, if you're going to pick on form, like Southgate always said he would, you can't leave Palmer out at the minute. I don't think you can leave Foden out at the minute because he's been on great form as well.
He's not going to show away from his 4-3-3, is he? Let's face it. I mean, surely if you go by form, you'd have. Well, to be fair, you know, I know Kane's scored a lot of goals, but you know, I mean, he hadn't done Bayern Munich any good going there. but you'd assume Kane is going to start whatever. But you'd have to think that maybe you'd have Foden one side and Palmer the other side, but who knows? But then you leave Saka out, and then all the Arsenal fans start moaning because Saka's not playing.
Oh boy,
yeah. Anyway, so Cole Palmer at 21 years, 345 days, became the fifth youngest player to score four or more goals in a single Premier League game, and the first for Chelsea to net four times since Frank Lampard did against.
Oh no!
It's that game. It's going.
Surely not.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Since Frank Lampard did against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
In 2010.
I remember it well.
I mean, no matter what, that scoreline is going to be with you forever. Next one. No player scored more Premier League goals than Cole Palmer this season. He's level with Erling Haaland. Well, he's just the second Chelsea player to score a hat-trick in back-to-back home appearances in the competition since Didier Drogba did in May and August in 2010.
Well, I get back-to-back appearances. I'm guessing it's the last and the first game of the season.
He did, yeah. Yeah.
That is an impressive stat to drag up, that one. Especially a whole summer break in between.
And then lastly, Cole Palmer has converted all nine penalties he has taken in the Premier League with Yaya Toure, who's done 11 out of 11, posting a better conversion rate from the spot in the competition's history.
There you go.
So, yes, of the 20 goals Cole Palmer has scored, nine of them have been penalties.
Yeah. That's it. And you know, I'm just putting it out there. Watkins hasn't scored a penalty for us this season.
He doesn't take it. He's not your...
No, he's not. He's not our penalty taker. So...
Is it?
Louise. Yeah. Dougie Louise, normally.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, that's all your cold wonders of white.
Nice.
He broke so many records at the weekend. I thought I might as well just do them all at once,
rather than phase them in the next few weeks.
Okay, quiz time.
Yes, it is quiz time. So, just because I enjoyed the higher or lower theme, I've gone for a higher or lower theme again this week. Except this time, we're going to go back in time 20 years.
To
April the 16th, I rejigged the quiz for today just to make sure that my stats were still correct. And yes, they are. So we're going back to April the 16th, 2004. And your task is to guess whether the team is higher or lower in the league now than they were on April the 16th in 2004. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So they're all higher or lower. There is one. Took me ages to find, but there is one that is the same. So I will give you that as a hint. Just look out for that one.
Okay.
So we'll start with question number one. A relatively easy one, I think. Arsenal. Are they higher or lower in the league today than they were?
I would say they're higher because that's invincible season, isn't it? 2004. So higher.
So I think, do you mean lower? They are lower now.
Oh, right. So now, yes. So they are lower now, yes.
Yes, they are indeed lower now. And you are right. It was the invincible season. So they were unbeaten in the league at this point. They were first. They are now lower in second place, obviously, as of the weekend. Just wanted to get that in there again, just to mention we beat them at the weekend. So well done. 1 point for you. There are a couple of bonus points on offer a little bit later on. So keep your eye out for them. Not until later questions. Question number two. Leeds United. Are they higher now or lower than 2004?
They'll be lower now.
They are indeed lower now. They are third in the championship, as we have mentioned. And they were... Where do you reckon they were 20 years ago today, Chris?
They were on the decline, weren't they? Then. So I would say bottom five.
Probably
the year they went down, I would have thought.
I think it was. They were 18th in the Premier League. So not too... I mean, there is a league difference, but in terms of position-wise, not too much difference. Getting a little bit more tougher for you now. West Ham United. Higher now or lower?
I mean, they probably haven't been this high in the league for a long time, so I would say they're higher now.
Correct. They are indeed. They are higher
now. Were they even in the Premier League then?
They weren't. So they were eighth in the Championship, and they're obviously now eighth in the Premier League. I just thought there was a nice bit of symmetry to that. Technically, it wasn't the Championship back then either. I think it was Division 1. I think it was the last year for Division 1, 2 and 3. But just I've brought it up to modern day. So we'll call it the Championship. Three out of three so far. Question number four. Wrexham. Are they higher now?
Oh, my word. I am going to say... I've watched a documentary and I remember them saying, like, it's been so many years. I am going to say they are... I'm going to say higher now.
They are actually lower.
They were in the league above, I guess.
So they are now second in League Two and recently promoted as of this weekend. They were 14th in what is now League One. 20 years ago today. So it was quite a steep decline for them at that point, because I think it was like 3 years after that they were back in the National League, and they were there for ages, obviously, until promotion the other year. So they are still lower, but obviously next season they'll have a chance to better that position. Question number five. Cardiff City.
I'm going to say higher now.
going to say higher. This was actually the trick one.
It was the same.
It is the same. I scouted high and low, and it was, I think they were literally the only team I could find. So they are 11th in the championship now, and they were 11th in the championship then. Which is pretty impressive, to be fair. You've not moved on in 20 years. You are still in that same place. So, that was a little bit mean of me, but, I had to get some in that were quite difficult. Because the next one's a lot easier. Manchester United.
Probably lower now. Definitely lower now.
They are indeed. So that was still Fergie's era back then. So they are.
He'd never allow that.
No, he never.
Not on his watch.
Obviously they're now seventh in the league. They were third that season back then.
It's behind Chelsea, I think. They were indeed. 2004,
yeah. They were. Next one. A little bit more tricky. Spurs.
If we've said that Arsenal won it, Chelsea second, Man United third. No, definitely lower now. No, hang on. Higher now.
Yes, they are indeed. So they're now obviously fifth in the Premier League. Where do you think they were 20 years ago? Just have a guess.
I would guess around. I mean, they were. They haven't always been. I'll just say bottom half.
You are correct.
I'd expect Man City to probably be in and around that as well.
They're 14th.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
How times have changed, and so now they're one of the big six. But yeah, 14th in the table. So now we've got some bonus points on offer, because the next team is Brentford, and I think it's going to be obvious which they are. So I will let you guess higher or lower first.
Higher now.
They are indeed. So I'll give you a point for that, and then for a bonus point, if you can get within 5 of how many places they've improved, I'll give you a bonus point. So they're now 15th in the Premier League. So how many places higher do you think they are now as to where they were 20 years ago?
Well, they're definitely going to be league. So do you want me to, because obviously this is the old system, isn't it? So if I say.
I've converted it to League One.
Okay. Well, they played Yeovil in the League One playoff.
They did.
So they would have been. I'm going to say they are. You say they're 15th now, yeah?
Yeah.
24.
Premier League now.
29. I'm going to say 61.
Oh, you're close. You've just overshot it a little bit. So
I was going to say 15. Oh, 40.
Places higher now than they were.
So they technically would have been League One.
They were League One, so they were 20th.
Well, so they must have been in League One for a while then, because Yeovil didn't play him in the playoffs till 2011, 2012?
So they are the team in the Premiership now, or they're in the Premier League now, that have improved the most.
Okay.
So now we have the team that were in the Premier League then that have dropped the most, Charlton Athletic. So I will give you some bonus points if you can tell me how many positions they've dropped.
Oh, my word. Because they weren't too bad, early 2000s.
No, they were a decent side.
Yeah, beaten Chelsea a few times. 11, 12, 36, 37... Oh my word. Right. I'm going to say 50.
You're within five, so
I
will give you that bonus point. There are 53 places, so they're 16th at the moment in League One, and they were 7th in the Premier League at that time, which this season would get them a European place, no doubt about that. So,
just like off top, it Portsmouth scored right at the end, by the way, so they ended up winning the league.
They are champions of League One. The South Coast Derby might be back on next season if Southampton don't go up. That'll be interesting. Final question for you now.
Okay.
No bonus points on offer for this one. Just a difficult one to end the quiz on. Higher or lower now than when they were 20 years ago?
Who was that, sorry?
Fulham.
Oh, my word.
I'd kind of run out of teams by this point, so I just lightly picked one.
They're not doing... I'm going to say that they are... Because they were in the Premier League. This is probably McBride era, Bermotti era. I'm going to say they are probably lower now.
They are lower now.
Yeah.
Well done. That's a good answer to end on. So they are 12th this season, and they were 9th at the time.
They had a really good side around that sort of time, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they get into Europe around then, maybe a couple of years after that. But I remember them. They beat Juventus, I think it was.
Yeah.
Europe quite comfortably. But
am I right in thinking that Middlesbrough got to the UEFA Cup final?
Yeah, they did. That would have been around then.
Yeah.
That was a year when they were always like down and out in every single game and came from like 3 goals down to win it in the last 10 minutes. I remember them being like incredible comebacks on that. Final. But yeah, well done anyway. 8 out of 10.
Yeah. That was quite tricky.
Yeah, there's a few difficult ones in there. So,
okay.
Yourself.
You're Who Am I?
Yes.
They are still playing, but I'll give you everything you need to succeed here.
Okay.
Okay, so they started their career at a team called Olympia.
Which
probably doesn't give you much. before signing for Bayern Munich.
Okay.
Then they played, and then for some reason they went from Bayern Munich to the second team in Bayern Munich. Okay. And I'm not sure what happened, but it looked like that they spent the season there before joining Blackburn Rovers. Then they went to Man City. And whilst at loan at Man City, they actually went on loan back to Blackburn, Betis and Malaga before signing for Malaga, then signing for Cruz Azul before some reason going back to Malaga on loan. And then they went back to Olympia. And then they are currently at a team called Libertad.
So there aren't many people that have made the move from Bayern Munich to Blackburn. I think
you'll find there is.
from Blackburn to Man City. So I'm guessing Olympia are Paraguayan.
Maybe.
I'm going to say that that's Roque Santa Cruz.
It is. It is Roque Santa Cruz.
Is he actually still playing?
He's still playing at the ripe age. Not quite 50. He's 42.
Oh.
But I saw a list of players who are still playing at a ripe age. And obviously, the Japanese guy, he was like 56.
Yeah.
He's still playing. But I don't think you would have got the other ones. Because as a teen, obviously, is one of them.
Yeah.
And a guy called Endo Yoshito, who is also playing in Japan. Something about Japanese players, because they, on this list, there is quite a lot of them on this list.
I'm looking at his goal scoring record now, and he's still not doing bad, to be fair.
He went back to that Olympia team. He played 140, he scored 66 goals in 148 games for them.
He must have been going back there to retire, you know, back to my boyhood club.
Will say this though. So he left Blackburn Rovers to join Manchester City, the year that Manchester City got all that money.
Yeah.
And then he joined Malaga in 2013. Funny enough, when Malaga got taken over.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't quite work out for them. But yeah, they got taken over and he joined them. I'm not saying he joined for money, but what I am saying is that he tended to go where the money was at the time.
Yeah. He's had a good payday,
but yeah, he is still, according to, you know, I'm only going by what's on in front of me on Wikipedia, but he is still very much playing according to this. So
absolutely.
Yes, here we go. His last game he played 64 minutes on the 10th of April.
There you go.
He hasn't scored though since the 25th of November. He has been quite barren of goals lately. He has actually only scored, what's it, two. He's only scored three or four goals this season. His last goal came against Olympia Asuncion. So, he actually...
that is the team that he played.
I've just looked at this Libertad team. There's another name I recognise on here as well, who scored quite a few goals. It's Oscar Cardozo. Can you remember him?
Yes. From
he played for Benfica.
Blimey, if you have them two up front, they've got a combined...
He's 40.
That is ridiculous. I thought he'd retired many years ago, but no.
How many other players have they got here that's...
I mean, yeah, that if you're playing 4-4-2 and you've got them up front, a combined age of 82 got to be some sort of record there.
They've got a few midfielders that are in their 35. I mean, they've got a lot of players with the surname Cardozo. I don't know whether they're all related.
Yeah. But still, no, fair play to him, and he's obviously retired from international football, but played a lot for Paraguay. But I'm just reading Santa Cruz made his debut in the Paraguayan Primera Division at the age of 15. So he's now been playing. He made his debut in 1997.
That's mad. I started school in 99. I started secondary school in 97.
It's a long career,
isn't it? Damn. He's been playing, what, for 30, well, no, not 30, like 20, over 25 years.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't seem like there's nothing on here saying that he's retiring either.
No, I mean, there are a lot of players.
I mean, playing. It's not like he's not playing, he's literally playing, I know some, it looks like he's a sub for the majority of the games, but he's getting, you know, 20, 25 minutes. I mean, his last two games that he's appeared in, he had 84 minutes in one. He did get a rating of 5.9 in that one. So
he was a good player. I mean, he scored a lot of goals that season for Blackburn. Obviously, got his big money move, but
he just got overcrowded in that Man City team because they just bought loads of strikers, didn't they?
Yeah,
they bought one striker, Robinho. He thought he'd signed for Man United.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. That is a blast from the past. I didn't realise he was still playing. So
It was a list. I can't remember if it was the Daily Mail or the BBC website. It was one of them. It was sort of a list of I think it was like Pensioners FC or something. but I think the actual article was about the guy from Japan.
Yeah.
The other bits were just saying like other players that were in and around sort of their 40s. Because I think Buffon, I don't think he's still playing, is he? Because he's like 45 now. I'm not sure if he's still playing or not.
Have a Google. Didn't he go back to Parma? Oh no, he is former professional. Yeah, he's retired.
Yeah, I think he retired in the last season. But yeah, yeah. Okay. See, it'll be recording. Hopefully, this time next week we're talking about Chelsea in the FA Cup final. But I don't have much hope, if I'm honest.
No, Man City's got other things.
The only good thing is that Man City are playing tomorrow, and there's a chance that they'd have to go to extra time. So, I've got my fingers crossed for extra. Are Villa playing this weekend?
We have, yes, got Bournemouth.
Dortmund actually ended up winning that game, by the way, against Atletico Madrid. They've gone through to the next round.
Yeah,
PSG. PSG are through, I mean. Oh. Yeah, it looks like that Barcelona have just imploded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, we'll be back next week.